Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
Now first, have you seen just one movie or dose?
Just the one.
Just the one.
Well, I mean, largely that's dictated by the amount of films that are A, released, or B, that are worth seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, four or five movies come out, but I'm like, wow, I am not going to dedicate 2 hours to that. I simply will not. I don't care how much effort went into that film. That does not look like it is entertaining to me.
So what did you see?
Knives Out.
Knives Out. Is this about a chef?
This is one of the greatest Agatha Christie novels that she didn't write.
Really? Oh, I love it already.
Rian Johnson, the guy that is responsible for Star Wars The Last Jedi and Looper,
mm-hmm.
Is the one that wrote
really?
And directed this. And let me tell you, like, if you were to take, like, I know you're a fan of, like, what was it, BBC or PBS? The
Perot? Oh, Poirot. A&E, I think. Poirot.
Okay. Like, it feels...
With David Suchet.
If you were to, instead of making him, let's say, European, and made him the colonel from KFC,
mm-hmm.
you kind of get an idea of what, like, your inspector, or like the... He's not even a detective. He's a private investigator in this, who is played... To
Daniel Craig
to
and
perfection.
Captain America?
Yes. And Captain America is a jerk and a half in this version. He's laying around eating cookies, like he's very much spoiled, like he's cursing. He's about as un-Captain America. Like I think Chris Evans saw this role and he's like, that is as far away from Steve Rogers as I'm gonna be able to get.
That's probably why he took it.
Daniel Craig is walking around this entire time speaking in what sounds like a combination of like the colonel in the KFC commercials and like something resembling the antebellum South.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So,
I can't wait.
So the entire time you have James Bond sitting there going, now, if I may.
And At any time.
I don't want to.
Does he take his shirt off?
No. No,
shame.
But I mean, just go.
Chris Evans?
No. But again, you can get both. Just rent First Avenger.
I know. Or, I was curious.
Or Casino Royale, and you can get both of them doing that.
Well, this movie is already a huge success because it's already made more than it cost to make. So it's a box office success for this movie, but not compared to, let's say, Endgame.
Well, here's the catch about Endgame, though. Endgame may have made like $2.7, $2.8, $2.9 billion, but like before, like they've started divvying anything up, or like you've got to consider advertising,
mm-hmm.
which was considerable. And I believe the budget of that and Infinity War, like combined, was around $1 billion. So you have to keep in mind, like, Avengers Endgame made a ton of money, but like, look at the cast. Like, mm-hmm. just look at all. And like, that thing was not shot like on the cheap. Like, there's a wizard. Like, they're in space. Like, there's a god of thunder from like Norse mythology. Like, I'm just saying, like, everything in that movie was expensive. This film right here, I cannot think of an explosion, a special effect, or something that couldn't be done practically, or that, honest to goodness, if you and I had a friend with a really like old house, we could have probably shot this movie. Maybe we don't get the cast that they've got, but like, there's nothing in this that is intrinsically like expensive. It's just a well-written film that I would say probably has to be in my top five
this year.
Like, it's a really entertaining, fun movie.
You're listening to Parental Guidance Suggested, brought to you by Hints and Oakley Family Dentistry. Jane Ellen talking with Adam Cravens about what's at the theater, and it is
Knives Out.
So what is the basic story?
There is a murder that they are... it comes out that it's a suicide, but they're questioning that and asking if it was not potentially a murder.
So to start there, because you mentioned Agatha Christie, it's one of those murders where we're not in any way familiar with the character, and so it doesn't bother us that they start out dead.
You get to know the character a lot in flashbacks mm-hmm. and everything, but that's kind of that's the thrust of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The parental figure, the father, who has essentially like all the money. He's a very wealthy writer, and he's got a bunch of like kids, some of them successful, some of them not successful, some of them like a little like indulgent, some of them like kind of spoiled. Like, you've got all these people, and when he dies, now everybody is sitting there going, well, A, like, was it really a suicide, or somebody is anonymously paid to hire this private investigator? And you don't know who has done this. But then you start going, well, they hired them before this was out. So was this foul play? Like, then the question of the will comes out, and how is the money divided? Is the money divided? Who's going to get the money? Like, what member of the family gets this money? And when they reveal who gets it, then like everything starts turning on its, like, the film is just very good about making you think that it is going in a certain direction. And once you're like, oh, okay, well, that has to be what it is. That mm-hmm. it is. It'll throw like another little bit into there, and you're going, oh, well, no, that's...
Does it have a Shyamalan ending?
Not. It's really
it's
not.
Supernatural.
It's really not. No, it's definitely, it's not the trees. Like, they weren't dead. Like, it wasn't the lady in the pool. Like, at the apartment complex. It's none of that stupid garbage. Like, there are twists, but like, they're logistically, they make sense. And as an audience member, you will have to pay attention to the movie. But as you are paying attention to the film, they all make sense, and you're like, oh, okay. And mm-hmm. on top of that, it's just kind of a funny movie. Like, is what, like, witty funny, like, some of the stuff is like laugh out, like it's not slapstick, like this is not a Three Stooges, like it's not.
I would love to see Daniel Craig do that.
It's not that, but like, it's just I'd seen the previews for it. I wanted to see it, and I'd read a couple reviews that were just like, this movie's fun, like, and then I go see it, and I'm like, wow, like it. And it features no lightsabers, like no Spider-Man, like none of the things that one generally goes to go see. Like, it's not an animated musical from Disney. It's not anything. It's not based on a pre-existing property. Like,
is this original adult entertainment?
That's yeah. Huh. And it just doesn't happen now. Like, back in like, say, the 70s or 80s, like, predominantly, like, that's what controlled the box office. Nowadays, it's franchise, it's sequel, it's animation. Mm-hmm. Like, it's that bigger than life stuff. And you don't, this is the kind of thing that probably usually ends up on, say, like Netflix, or like is more of an independent film.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing they were able to get the cast that they did because, I mean, as much as I'm sure like RDJ enjoyed his paychecks for like all those times he appeared as Iron Man, like, it's not acting in the way that I think one traditionally like thinks of like when I was watching this, like, it could be, you could do a stage production
mm-hmm.
of this movie.
Interesting.
Like, if you were to like rearrange some, like, it feels like a well-written like play that's being adapted, or like it feels like Clue, like a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you never get to see, like, or a funny murder on the Orient Express. Like,
murders, however, can be hilarious when written by the right people.
Correct. And like I said, this just, it was what I wanted to see when I saw
and
it.
And rated R, maybe, or PG something?
I believe it is R. Like, it's not... There's not just F-bombs left and right, but like there's some mature subject matter. There is murder. It's a hard PG-13, or it's, I really think it's R, if I'm remembering correctly.
Mm-hmm. Don't you find it incredibly odd that when you look back at a film and it turns out it's rated R, you just don't know what it was rated R for because it's just you've forgotten all those parts.
Well, I mean, that...
That's what it's like for me.
And I'll be honest, like, the ratings don't matter to me as much anymore because, like, I'm not concerned with getting carded because if you card me, like, I'm old enough to see... Like, back when I was in high school, like, that was a big deal because I can't see that. It's rated R. Once you get, you know, to four decades, you're just kind of going, oh, well, that looks fun. I'm going to go see that. Like, and at this point, I don't think anybody's questioning the fact that I'm over the age of 21.
I guess.
I'm just saying.
I was kind of upset. I had to buy some cold medicine that apparently had Sudafed in it. And a young man did not even ask me my age. Just clicked yes over 18. It's like, well, sure. But shouldn't you have asked?
You are correct, sir. But.
But. And then again, if he had asked, I would say something like, are you serious, man? Anyway, that's just me. There's no winning at all. Anyway, so Knives Out, go just, see.
Yeah.
And
like, legit, like check this. Like probably don't take the kids, but like if you're an adult and like you just want to see like an interesting, like well-performed, well-written, like well-shot movie, like you really can't do any better than this right now.
That sounds excellent. All right.
I mean, this is coming from a guy that, you know, watches quite a lot of movies.
You have seen quite a lot of movies.
Yeah.
And this gets, Knives Out gets 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I completely believe that.
Mm-hmm. And coming up.
Next week, I did not see a whole lot that A, I had heard of, or B, cared about seeing. Like, it's going to be. I'm not looking forward to this upcoming, like, what is it, Romance Story or Marriage Story, something like that. It's got Kylo Ren and Black Widow, I think.
Okay, I guess I am not pulling up the right movies.
No, there's, seriously, like, this upcoming weekend?
The 40th anniversary of something that might be anime, the 30th
we won't get that here.
Of... When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, we probably won't get that either. Though, and a fun movie.
Mm-hmm. And The Magic Flute, I don't think you'll be seeing that.
Now, I believe Christmas Vacation is turning 30 this year. I believe we are getting a showing of that, but I don't remember precisely when it was.
Yeah, I just don't see Playmobil, the movie.
Yeah, that doesn't look good either. I'm saying, like, I actually researched this week. Like, the next time we really get something is when, like, Rise of Skywalker hits. Honestly, I don't think there was any film that wanted to, like, it's December, so you're probably going to release, like, a family film.
Adam, I am so disappointed in you.
What? Well, sorry, Mom.
December 6th. Grand Isle with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, like I said, nothing that I want to see, Jane, is coming up.
Oh, you have to see it.
Like, do you really want to be the film that's sandwiched between Frozen 2 and the last of, like, the Skywalker saga Star Wars movies? Like, that sounds like a terrible place to be for, like, even if you're the unless you're maybe like the eighth Harry Potter film,
mm-hmm.
There is no way you want to be between those two movies. Like, one of them is, it's a certainty that it will make $1 billion. The next Star Wars, like, unless they have just horribly, horribly, like, maligned this film. And I'm assuming because J.J. Abrams is back in the chair, this one's going to do fine. Maybe not $2 billion, but, like, maybe it stops at 1.7 and it disappoints there. These are two movies, like, that are essentially guaranteed to make over $1 billion.
But it's Nicolas Cage.
Right, yeah. I don't think Nicolas Cage has been in a $1 billion movie. I don't know that he's been in a movie that, like, I wanted to see in a number of years. I remember he was in those Ghost Rider movies, but I didn't want to see those. give me a minute. I'll think of something like that National Treasure garbage where he like he reads $5 bills to like find buried treasure. Like I really don't remember the last time Nicolas Cage. I don't want to go all the way back to like Face Off in 1997,
which
like,
still is awesomely hilarious.
Oh my goodness! Like that movie is like it was on. What? Maybe it was on Hulu or something the other day. Like I was just flipping through, like, and I just randomly went to one of those actions. Like the bombacity of having the overacting of both John Travolta, who is just glazed hamming it up in that movie, and Nicolas Cage, who doesn't know how not to ham it up, being directed by John Woo, who like has all the subtlety of a nuclear blast. It just like there's that movie is
has brought us so much joy.
It is so good for all the wrong reasons. If you haven't seen 1997's Face Off, watch it, kids. Like Danny Zuko and the Ghost Rider cut each other's faces off, and like there's it's stupider when I say it out loud, but I'm just saying, watch Face Off. Watch it.
Yeah.
Watch it, watch it, watch it. Come back, thank me later. And there's doves.
There's a lot of swishing of coats.
Yes.
And
yes.
Doves.
Oh my goodness. Like it's
I'm gonna have to see it again. I have to show you know what I'm gonna do? I'm not gonna say anything to my children about it. I'm gonna say, hey, let's watch this.
And I'm just you can't appreciate the film. Like I didn't when I first saw it, and I want to say I saw it in theaters, maybe. Like,
yeah, I know I saw it in the theater.
Like, I didn't appreciate it then. Like,
no,
because
not like I do now.
I didn't understand how much Travolta was overacting. Like, you see him in a film like Pulp Fiction, and like that's actually just a good performance. Like, what he's giving in there. Like, you watch him in Saturday Night Fever. Like, I believe he had an Oscar nomination for that. John Travolta can't act, but then he does something stupid. Like, Look Who's Talking. And you're just like, wait, what? And then, like, you see what happens when he doesn't have a director that, like, understands what you should and should not do in front of a camera, and you get Face Off.
You're going to be very happy. I did do this with a good movie. I said, after we watched Air Force One and the children wanted to know why Harrison Ford couldn't be president, I think a lot of people wonder that, I said, let's watch Patriot Games.
Well,
and Jenna is thrilled.
Well, here's the catch about that. The character Jack Ryan that he is playing in Patriot Games in the book series that's based on becomes the president.
Yes.
Like,
and she's just all about it.
Have you let her see Jack Ryan, the series?
We just haven't gotten to it.
Okay. Like, I mean, because I know they're based around like the same thing, but like they're very different takes on it's the same subject, essentially.
She seems to think that Harrison Ford is attractive and takes care of business.
Well, here's
She's
the deal.
Right.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
He is. Like Force Awakens, like even at what is Ford in he's in his 70s at this point, correct?
I don't even know.
I want to say it's late. I'm just saying, like, even at 70, and like I said, maybe he's in his 80s, but I want to say I'm right about that.
I don't think he's in his
80s. But, like, people, the next time they did a Star Wars movie, it only made, like,
He's 77.
It made $1.2 billion. I'm going to go ahead and put out there, the reason why Force Awakens made as much of it as it did is because people wanted Harrison Ford back in that iconic role. As much as like they've dedicated to all these Jedis and lightsabers and like fights where they do like backflips and stuff, like really all anybody wanted was a Han Solo movie. And I don't mean Solo. I mean a movie with Harrison Ford as Han Solo. Like that's what they wanted. Like Harrison Ford has had so many iconic roles. There's a reason why even a movie like Stupid Kingdom of the Stupid Crystal Skull can make $300 million domestically and be terrible. It's because people love him playing Indiana Jones. They're about to start shooting the fifth Indiana Jones movie.
I can't wait.
He is older than Sean Connery was when he played his father in Last Crusade, and I don't care. I do not care that he's that old.
Oh, she's all in.
I want some whip cracking. I want some fedora. I want some leather coat. Like, I doesn't bother me. I wish they'd get Sean Connery out of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer that the last thing he did was not League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Like, he hasn't acted except in some film that was not released in the U.S. It's an animated film that he did the voice of. But, like, the last live-action role that he did was League of Extraordinary Gentlemen in 2003. Screen legends don't need to go out like that.
No, they don't. But none of these movies are what we're reviewing.
No, they're not.
Knives Out.
But Harrison Ford is always relevant.
Always.
Relevant.
Knives Out, good movie, potentially excellent, a great movie.
Excellent film. Like I said, I obviously haven't watched the movies that haven't come out yet in December, but I'm going to bet Knives Out is probably in my top five for the year.
Okay. So go and see that, and Adam will mentally prepare himself to see a Nicolas Cage film.
Who, what, why, where?
We should see it together.
I need to beg like one of the projectionists to like damage that file. I'll be like, can you scramble the digital code to please?
Anyway, the countdown is coming for fabulous movies, including Danny DeVito movies, something I don't get to say very often. So hang around for that. And thank you for listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.